Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
It says that verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. See, if we're truly, truly delighting ourselves in the Lord, then it will be some reciprocation.
All right.
Just like you get something from your best friend. If it's a healthy relationship, there's some reciprocation. If you have a close, intimate relationship with your best friend, then on your birthday, your best friend might get you something and vice versa. They're going to celebrate your life because you delight in one another. Tonight, we're going to see what happens when we truly delight ourselves in the Lord. We're going to look at 3 points tonight. We're going to talk about God's delight. We're going to talk about God's desires. And we're going to talk about God's,
Domination.
God's delight, God's desires, and God's domination. And again, Christians should delight themselves in the Lord. Let's go to our first point here. God's delight, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. But the Bible says to, first of all, to delight. And we gave you the Hebrew word in your handout. And it's an interesting word for the word delight. To delight in the Lord means to be soft, to be dainty, to delight, to just or to take delight. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's almost similar to that word when it talks about an offering in the New Testament about how God loves a hilarious giver. That somebody, when offering time comes, they delight in giving an offering. They want to give. They don't come to the household of the Lord not thinking that they won't give. But they delight themselves in the offering, and it's almost hilarious.
Yes.
It's always good to be around people who are funny. You have some funny friends. It's good to be around somebody who laughs, or somebody who jokes all the time, who's jovial. It's good. We just had somebody who came through and visited our little daughter by the name of Marcus, and he was in the house and he was making jokes, and it was just funny. It was a funny, hilarious time. It was wonderful. And then he and his wife is the kind of people that you want to come through any time because we delight in your delightfulness. And God's delight is that we delight ourselves in him. You see, it's really hard to be a sour Christian. There's no such thing. Should be no such thing as a sour Christian. There should be no such thing as a hard-faced, scrounging, ugly-looking Christian. Because their life has has no delight, and the delight is dependent upon the God that you serve. You see, things can be going wrong, but you still can delight yourself in the Lord, because God is good, and all the time, God is good. Regardless of the circumstances that's going on in your life, you can always delight yourself in the Lord. You can be happy. You can be soft in the Lord. The opposite is hard.
All right.
And God used to convict those in the Old Testament and call them and told them that they had hard hearts. And because they had hard hearts, they couldn't delight themselves in the Lord, because they were too hard. They were not soft. And that's why this word means dainty or softness. To delight yourself, to be soft towards God. Don't have a hard heart towards God. Delight yourself in the Lord. For he is always good. He's always good. It says here that the average Christian is so cold and what? Contented with his what? That what? Says that the average Christian is not delightful or delighting themselves in the Lord. They're cold. They're hard. And may that not be Bethlehem Baptist Church and the members of Bethlehem Baptist Church, the leaders of Bethlehem Baptist Church. May this be a hilarious place to come. May this be a delightful place to come. May we be a delightful people, because we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. And because we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, whether things are going well or things are not going so well, we can always be delightful, because we are delighting in him. Oh, church, are you a delightful Christian? Are you a delightful Christian? Are you a delightful Christian? The people like to have you around. When you come, do they not want you to be around? Many times, even serious Christians who think they are being holy have lost their salt, have lost their delightfulness. A Christian that can't laugh, a Christian that can't watch TV, a Christian can't go to the moon. We know what you can't do. What can you do? God wants us to be delightful, because we're delighting ourselves in him. Amen? So that's God's delight. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, God begins to delight himself in you.
All right.
Okay, God begins to delight himself in you, and then you get to talk about God's desires. For the text says, delight yourself in the Lord, and what? And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. So, which we can naturally say that if we're not getting the desires of our heart, then maybe that means that we are really not delighting ourselves in the Lord. Hello? Isn't that what it says? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you living out the desires of your heart? Are you living out God's dreams for your life? Is God doing the miraculous? Is God doing some stuff in your life that nobody, not even yourself, can explain how it happened? See, that's the thing about being delightful or being humorous. Nobody can determine where humor comes from. But normally a joke goes on along the line, and then it, all of a sudden it'll twist on you. And it's in that element of the unknown that humor comes from. And when we're aligning ourselves in the Lord, God is in that twist, in that element of the unknown. He begins to change some things in your life. You can't explain it. Nobody else can explain how it happened. It just all of a sudden, it was going serious, and then it was a serious moment, and then it twists on you. Somebody tonight, God is saying that the key to getting through this trial, the key to getting through this tribulation that you're going through right now, is that first you must delight yourself in me.
Yeah.
And when you delight yourself in me, then I can give you the desires of your heart. Unless we think that this is prosperity teaching, God is talking about giving you the desires of your heart. It's not saying God wants to give you everything that you want.
That's right.
Because we are like our grandbabies. If you let our grandbabies loose and unsupervised in a candy store, what are they going to do? They're going to grab and they're going to eat up everything that they can. They're going to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until they get so sick they'll be torn up everything everywhere. And you'll know exactly what they had. So God is not saying that I'm going to give you everything you want. No, God is saying that the Almighty God is going to pour some desires in your heart, and I'm going to allow you to realize the desires here on earth in Jesus' name. He's going to enable you to desire the right things.
Yeah.
Which are good things.
All right. Amen.
My little girl always just liked to eat sweets. And she always thought that. She thought that she had everybody thinking I was doing it wrong because I'd make her eat vegetables. That's all he want me to eat is vegetables. She had her way. The only thing she would eat was sweets. But what's good for a body is vegetables, nutrition.
All right.
Hello? Yeah. And there's some things that we don't have a desire for that God has to give us the desire
right.
for.
Amen.
And I can best explain this in relationship. In relationship, it seems in our culture, in our society today, that women like the bad boys, the thugs, all those knuckleheads that's not doing nothing in their lives. And then they'll get saved, come on the scene, and pray to ask God that God would send them somebody. But they will never desire the quote-unquote the nice guy. I tell single women, if I could describe the kind of catch that you should get in your life, it should be someone who's nice. That's a good word. In our culture, even good men don't want to be described as nice. Because they know women won't want them then. That's the kind of culture, that's the kind of society that we grow up in. But if you pray to God and ask God for me, then he's going to give you the desires of your heart. That means he's not going to give you the bad guy.
All right.
He's going to give you somebody that's good for you, somebody that can love you as Christ loved the church. Somebody that can be patient and loving and kind, not only to you, but to your children and your children's children's children, should you live to see them to the third and fourth generation. He's not going to entrust his kind, his gift, to somebody that can't appreciate it. After all, God said, don't cast your pearls before what?
What?
Swine. So many times you have Christians taking this out of context. They take this out of context. No, God is not saying that I'm going to give you everything that you want. Let's see what this quote says. What does this quote say? Let's read together on three. One, two, three.
Father, I intend to desire to live in obedience to God.
And if God is going to give you the desires of of your heart, you have to give up your will.
Right, amen.
You have to give up your will to his will and say, as Jesus said in the garden that night, Lord, not my will, not what I want, not what I desire. If I go by what I desire, of course, in the flesh, I'm not going to want to be stoned. I'm not going to want to be killed. I'm not going to want to be whipped. I'm not going to want to go through the streets with a cross on my back. I'm not going to want to go to a hill called Golgotha and be nailed on the cross. I'm not going to want to be put up in the line between two thieves. After all, don't you know who I am?
All right.
But sometimes God gives you some stuff that's hard for you to appreciate and hard for you to realize that it's good. Sometimes it starts out bad, but after you get past the death, you come to that resurrection, and all of a sudden it flips on you. And that which was meant for bad ends up meaning good. That's why the Bible says that all things work together for good. For who? To his purposes. It didn't say that all things were good. He said that all things work together for good. That's why we have to be the responsible in the teaching of the sex. That's why I said God's desires, not your desires in the handout. God's desires. God's desires for you to give your will over to him and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. One good thing about this, though, is that many times God's wills and your desires will line up together. Like Hannah. She couldn't have a child. She couldn't have a baby. She came to church and she poured out her heart before the throne room of God. So much so that the preacher thought she was drunk.
All right.
She was praying. She couldn't do something. She couldn't have a baby. That was her heart's and desire. And then her desire lined up with God's desires.
Yeah.
And she was able to give birth to a son by the name of who? Samuel! Not just any son. Hello? Every once in a while, there's something that's down in your heart. And it's something that would benefit you. But it's also something that would benefit the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
And it's lining up. And God is saying that you've been delighting yourself in me. And right now, it's coming together. And because it's coming together, I'm about to change some things. I'm about to flip the script. And somebody's about to receive God's desires. Which are your desires. That's the reason I like the Amplified Version said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions. Petitions! What are petition prayers? The prayers that nobody knows that you're praying about. The secrets are hidden in your heart that you want to see God do. God is saying that it's about to happen because you've delighted yourself in me. Now I'm about to give you the desires of your heart. That which you've been petitioning for, like Hannah, nobody knows but you and I. It's a secret, it's a secret, but I'm going to bless you out in the open in Jesus' name. Anybody want to be blessed out in the open where everybody can see? I don't mind being blessed out in the open. Bless me, Lord, anytime. If I'm out in the open, bless me. If I'm in the secret places, it don't matter, Lord, just bless me. I've been petitioning you. I've been praying for some things. I've had some desires in my heart. Lord, and now I know that they're lining up with your will, and your will and my will are one, and as a result, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Lord, do it. Do it for me right now, because God, he gives what? domination. Domination. God gives domination. What does that text say? He says later on in that ninth verse and also part of that sixth verse that you read, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit what? Inherit the land. They will inherit the land. I gave you that Hebrew word there. It says the root of that means to take possession of, inherit. To assuredly dispossess. God says that some stuff is about to be taken from somebody else and given to me. Because I've been delighting myself in the Lord. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes Christians get too sentimental. If God's ready to bless you, if he's moving. And I hate to say it this way, but I'm not caring about anybody that's not in the will of God. He says, those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That means that land is coming from somebody else. But I'm going to inherit it. Many of us, we don't know, we don't see, because we don't use our sanctified imagination. But when the children of Israel were going and conquering the land, God, did you realize that there were people actually living in those houses?
All right.
There were people living in Jericho. There were people living in the land. But God said it was mine.
Right. Amen.
And he said that I could inherit it. And he said that I had to fight to inherit it, but it was mine.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's something that's mine. I ain't caring about anybody else who have it. Hello?
That's it. All right.
Good illustration.
All right.
Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got that, and God says it's mine, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna take it. You better give it. See, I didn't want to go there. But I'm gonna take it. Yeah. I was up for my first church in Abilene, Texas. My bishop had referred me to the church. I talked with the church committee, pastor search committee. I had believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was calling me there. And he had made it evident like no other time in my life. I knew it was evident. That's where God wanted me. But that was a problem. The deacon that was on the pastor search committee sat down and got away, and they had two deacons, and they no longer had deacons on the pastor search committee. Then they had the deacons who were there. And the deacons didn't like anybody on the pastor search committee. Anybody on the pastor search committee didn't like the deacons. So the deacons wanted the man that was there filling in for them, an interim pastor, to be the pastor. And they called me up and they said, Pastor, we don't know what to do. It's the deacons want to put this man up to be the pastor. And I said, don't worry about that. I said, the church has empowered you to do what you're supposed to do. You just get me there, and I'll take care of the rest. And I told them the day to have me there. And you know what? While I was going there, I wasn't concerned about the other person who wanted the church. Because God said it was mine.
All right.
Huh? Waking me up in the middle of the night talking about Abilene. He said it was mine. Huh?
All right.
I know it's from him because it's a place that I really didn't want to go. I was just being obedient. So it's mine. And I went there and, you know, and I basically pastored my way up into the church. Had the same situation with a friend of mine. He thought it was his church. He believed that it was his church. But the man that was there wanted the church. And then he called me up. He said, well, the guy that was there, he wanted the church, and I don't know what to do. He want the church, and he got some very influential people in the church that's on his side. I said, wait a minute, did God say it was yours? Do you believe that God said it was yours? Then it don't matter about who's there in your spot. You better go and take your spot in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what he did? He didn't take my advice. And the other guy that was there that eventually got the church, the way he got the church, he didn't have any influential people on his side at all. The way he got the church is that he went, and when it was time to vote, he went and got some members that hadn't been there 25 years to come back in the vote for the church. And I said, man, that man stole your church. I told you not to be intimidated. I don't care if he did have somebody influential. Are they bigger than God? Huh? If God is for me, then what?
Yeah.
Let me say that again. If God is for me,
He's more than the world.
He said the world, the whole world, not the man.
Right.
I want my people I teach to have some grit in them. Huh? A Christian tends to lose their edge. The Bible tells us to be what? As wise as a serpent, but what? Innocent as a dove.
Right.
Wait a minute, Lord, you telling me to be like a snake? Wait a minute, God, you telling me to be like a snake? I can understand the dove, but you telling me to be like a snake? One of the things that a snake does is a snake doesn't have any eyelids. And a snake, even when he sleep, can see. Huh? That's what a pastor is. See, I see some stuff that's going on. I appear to be asleep, but I see. I see. Hey, you need to see. You need to see. Don't be stupid. God didn't call us to be stupid Christians. Be sheep led to the slaughter. Huh?
Yeah.
Instead of folk taking advantage of us, we should be taking advantage of other folk. Woo, that's deep. You need to think about that. You need to think about that. Because that may mess with your theology. Huh? Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land.
Right.
They're going to take some stuff from some people. They're going to inherit it. What do you think? That they were going to put you in the wheel? If it's God's will for your life to have the land, it don't matter if the land owner has you in the wheel or not. You better go and you better take it. That's pretty deep, isn't it? That's what God says that you have. You will take possession of. And anybody that's in the place of the will of God, what? What? Are they more important than the will of God? They're not more important than the will of God. And get this, nobody is more important than the will of God. Not even the preacher. Because if I don't lead you where God wants you to go, you know what will happen?
All right.
To raise somebody else better and better than I am. You think you can't be replaced? You better ask Elisha or Elijah first. Elisha came on the scene and did what? Twice as much. You better ask Moses, a great man of God. But Moses couldn't take him into the promise. Who came on the scene? Joshua. Don't put God in a box. God says you can have it. You better go and get it in Jesus' name. But first of all, you better be delighting yourself in the Lord. You better be receiving God's desires. And once you receive God's desires, you better go and dominate in Jesus' name. I said go and dominate in Jesus' name.
All right. Yes, sir.
Because a sincere heart to serve God will lead to true blessings from God. Mm. Let me say that again. Somebody missed it. Mm-hmm. A sincere heart to serve God will lead to true blessings from God. True blessings from God. And the true blessings are God's will for your life. Those are the true blessings. If you get something that God didn't give you, then it's not a blessing. Let me say that again. Because sometimes we go out and get stuff that God didn't give us. You worried about the payment of it? Honey, if you got to worry about the payment of it, maybe the God didn't give it to you. Hello? You got to work 2 and 3 jobs to keep it. Maybe God didn't give it to you. And what if God didn't give it to you? If you didn't inherit it, what? It's going to be a mess and you may need to get rid of it.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah.
You may need to get rid of it. I'd rather have or live in a 2-bedroom apartment that God gave me than a 4-bedroom house in the suburbs that he didn't give me. Because somebody talked about having peace of mind was a delight. And I tell you, I'm the same way. I'd rather have peace than problems. I'd rather have peace than problems. Some of you have gotten old enough to realize that as well. Say, maybe I don't need a new car. I just keep driving it. This car's paid for. I'd rather drive it with peace. And drive this new car that I can't afford to fill up. If you can't say amen, say ouch. The Christians, my encouragement for you this summer, and encouragement summer, is to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. Be soft towards the things of God. Don't be hard.
That's right. Yeah. Mighty good.
See, in the world, they teach you to be hard. You got to be hard to make it. In the church, you have to be soft to make it. You want God to move on your behalf. You got to learn how to pray. Petitions. And secret petitions. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. Because when we pray, God will give us the desires of our hearts. And many times those desires will be blessings from God that we wanted anyway. He just wanted you to trust him for it.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. I just love it's this word to delight, Lord. Father God, may we Father.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. You prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of a living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby. You must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord.